Welcome back, everybody, to a new and improved, as always, Intrinsic podcast. My name is Juan.
My name is Omar.
There we go. And we're happy to be back with you guys again. Really excited on this topic. Interesting to how it will go. I think generally, not just with this topic, but other topics, Omar tends to be the cheerleader, the good guy in this, and I play the bad cop. And I think that this episode might be more of the same because we're going to be talking about entitlement within ourselves, within our family, within society and people. And I'm going to try to not be too mean, as they would say, in the streets, and be... truthful, because I think entitlement and it elicits different expectations and different reactions from different people. But, for me, it makes me very, very frustrated. And I find it hard to sometimes not say the things that I'm thinking. So this will be an interesting, episode, but, here we are. Omar, are you entitled? First of all, should I go off on you first?
Absolutely. I'm entitled. I deserve everything. Not because I work for it, but because I want it.
My mistake, yeah. Sir. Yeah. You should have started with that. That I fucked up. Didn't consider that one. I didn't consider that. You got me there.
When I look at other people and I see them having nice things, I feel like I should have them too. So.
Yeah. And they should not have them because you want them.
Correct. Yeah, they should give them to me.
Yeah.
That's how life works.
Oh, okay. Here we go. This is me. This is me suppressing that, even though I know that this is just a joke. But yeah.
Just being a typical sarcastic, like I like to. No, I am not entitled.
Have you been?
Perhaps in the past, yeah. I think, especially when I was younger. When you surround yourself with a lot of other people, like say like in high school, middle school, maybe even elementary school, your classmates, perhaps other kids in your neighborhood, right? It could be something as simple as a kid having a new bike, and therefore you're like, well, he got a new bike, so I want a new bike, right? You know, very simple things like that. But that's where it starts. And then what it leads to is now saying, oh, well, my friend got like a brand new BMW. So I kind of want like a Mercedes. So, you know, if we could buy that, like, I'd really like that like now. Right. Yeah. Things of that nature. I'm not entitled, but yeah, at one point I was, probably a lot more simpler than that, but yeah. It's kind of a very funny way to look at life. It's very foolish. It's very like immature in a sense that you think you deserve things either simply because you want them or because you see other people have them. Right. And it kind of goes along with all the other things that we've talked about in the past, right? You compare yourself to other people and perhaps within your circle or nearby in your surroundings. And you say, well, this person's doing that. So I need to do this. Right. And it's just very, I don't know. I mean, it really pisses me off, to be honest. It really is a topic that pisses me off. Yeah. And I'm trying not to go down that rabbit hole.
It's so hard.
Yeah. I'm trying to be very like calm talking about this, but, we both had, struggles growing up. Right. And we're kind of discussing that a little bit before we recorded or started recording that, in a sense that kind of allowed us to get a different perspective on life, realizing that, no, you're not just going to be born into having all these nice things. You're going to have to work for them. And even then you might still not get those things, right? Hard work alone might not get you the nice things that you want, whether they're materialistic things or raises or certain positions in life, certain circles even, right? You're going to have to really work hard towards it and hope that you possibly make good connections. You can network with people, meet different people that might open doors for you to get you to where you want to be. And then there's people that are the complete opposite. They're like, well, I want it, so why can't I just have it, right? Mm-hmm. They could not even understand the concept of trying so hard and still failing, right? To them, it's like, why even try? I'm going to get it anyways, right? And essentially, they're living in this kind of fantasy-like life where they're just kind of on fluffy clouds, you know? Everything is soft. Everything is nice and cuddly. Everything just feels right. And they become so distinguished when you meet these people out in life. You can tell right away, like, they cannot connect with any sort of instance of struggle. You describe to them like anything as simple as like, oh yeah, I worked a long day. I'm like, oh well, why don't you just get off early? And you're like, well, what? You're just kind of like trying to like explain like, well, yeah, I guess you could get off early, but I don't want to get off early. Like, I got things to do. I got places to be. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go to certain places in my life. I like to work hard right now while I'm young so that later on when I'm older, I could possibly retire and have, you know, some cool investments that I've already made throughout these years. But these people are kind of coming at it from a very, very distinguished perspective where it's like, isn't life always easy? Like, aren't these things just going to be handed to you? Like, I thought life was about having fun. And you're just like, oh, okay.
Why are you working so hard?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like the main thing that comes up. That'll be literally like the telltale sign of somebody that possibly might be entitled. It's like, but why work so hard? You know? And you're just like,
why not just enjoy life and sip on Mai Tais in the beach?
Yeah. Like, why not just get like shit-faced all the time? Who cares if you're always blacked out? Who cares if you always pass out? You could just have your chauffeur drive you home.
Yeah. Two things I like to bring up at some point during this episode. I like to dive into why it angers us. I think that would be interesting. And I don't like taking it in this direction, but entitlement is at least one of those things where it's really hard for me to separate it from race or ethnicity.
Or culture.
Culture. I hate generalizations. I don't like when a lot of people are grouped together and you're just assuming things about them. So I'm by no means doing that. I'm not saying that entire races of people act in one specific way because everyone's born with their own either privileges or hardships that form who they are as a person. The reason I think it's important to bring it up is because a lot of people who are entitled are white or Caucasian or just in general born into a very privileged position. So that's why I wouldn't include all Caucasian and white people. I think from a socioeconomic standpoint, it's those groups of people because they have been here for likely the longest time and they've been able to, in their past generations, you know, set up real estate, set up property. And if we know anything about it, is that real estate and having property is probably one of the most stable ways of building up your overall net worth and leave a legacy for your children and their children's children. So I think a lot of people who were in those positions where their parents maybe immigrated here very early when the country started and got land for cheap and then maybe bought some more land. And then you have generations and it compounds, right? You think about when we invest, right? We invest because of the compound interest. We invest because as it grows, you get growth on your previous growth, right? So that's how you get through generations and generations of a simple farmer with one, you know, maybe like 4 acres of land, multiply that through a couple of generations. It's some family who's really, really well off, right? So that's the only reason why I really bring up that specific sort of ethnicity or race. Not that if you're born white, you're going to be entitled. It's just a matter of like, there's higher chance that if you're born white, you're probably going to be born with a better starting system. And what I mean by that is just you're going to be more economically stable. Your parents are going to probably have some sort of property, right? They'll be able to give you more things. Whereas for me, like, I'm a first generation. I don't know if I would call it American, right? I'm a first generation. I'm the first generation from my family to be born here, right?
Yeah.
All of my sisters were born in Mexico. My mom and my parents were obviously born in Mexico as well. They immigrated, became citizens, did all the, you know, residency, all that sort of stuff. But I'm the only one that was actually born here, right? And my sisters are also, in some sense, first generation. Right? So where was our property? Where was our sort of privilege? We didn't have it, right? It just makes sense, right? I'm not, you know, upset about it. It just makes sense. We immigrated here. We had absolutely nothing. We had to fight for what we have and fight to establish that, right? And right. Now part of the fire that we have in us is to do that exact same thing, right? So we can't necessarily, it's not a hate of the people that built it, because we are the people that are now trying to build it for ourselves. We're trying to, hopefully this doesn't turn out, but like, you know, no one wants it, but like four generations to the future, Omar's, you know, grandkids or great, great, great grandkids, whatever it is, will have a higher possibility of being entitled than him and then myself. Absolutely. Right? Even though we don't want that on some level, we do want it because we want to give our children a better opportunity and a better, just overall outlook on their lives than we started with. And the exact same thing with our parents. Right. So just wanted to make that point there. You know, it's not necessarily a race thing. It's just socioeconomics, the way it works with this country, there's a higher chance that if you are, you know, of a lighter skin tone, unfortunately, it sounds ridiculously stupid, but it's the reality of this country. You were probably born into a better position. And because of that, you're likely, more likely at least, to have some sort of sense of entitlement, even if your family is not extremely well off compared to minorities that have absolutely nothing when they move here. You're pretty well off.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to kind of simplify that, I mean, it's essentially like having a foundation or not, you know, something to fall back on or not. Right. You know, like in terms of like my family, like say if my, when my dad was ill, if he were to pass away, that's kind of it. Like, I don't, there's no plan B, you know. The head of our household passes away and we basically get left to try to figure things out. Mom has to get, you know, 2-3 jobs. Everybody has to work, right? To make means, to make things, you know, work. That's the kind of reality, right? Fortunately, that didn't happen for us. But even then, there was a lot of like hardships and struggles just to make sure that we got by, right? And that's essentially what that is. It's having the foundation or not, having like a safety net, right? You know, I heard of a story recently. I won't go into specifics or details, but essentially kids of some very well-off people were inherited a business. They knew nothing about the business. They didn't know how to run the business. They essentially were just handed the keys to the door. And it's like, here's the store. And they didn't even last that long with it, until it essentially just kind of started getting run into the ground, right? And that's what that looks like, right? Because they have this amazing opportunity, right? Anybody in the right mind, you get handed a business, whatever kind of business it may be, you're like, that's it. Like, you're making it. You're going to make it. That's literally essentially a bulletproof plan. Like, how could you possibly mess that up? You honestly kind of can't. As long as you show up and you try every day, you'll figure it out with time, you know, work at all the steps and you got yourself a functional, profitable business. Yep. And these people ran into the ground and absolutely basically destroyed the business. Now, most people might not be in that position, right? You might not just get handed a business, right? But it's to kind of allow people to kind of see the symbolism of what entitlement is, right? It's like you feel like you're entitled to this business, right? Like, oh, well, it's my parents' business. Like, this is going to be mine someday. Like, I deserve this business, right? But you haven't worked for that business. You haven't even earned a position to even be starting employing in that business. A starting employing that's making, you know, minimum wage 9 to 5 at that said location possibly knows way more about the business than you do, just being, you know, the one that's going to inherit it, right?
For sure.
And that's what that kind of sense of entitlement can kind of come in, right? That's one form that it comes in. And it's unfortunate because what I was telling you earlier, it's like, it's the same thing as somebody like, say, like David Goggins or other people that are noteworthy, right? That have accomplished a lot in life, have, you know, all these trophies on their shelves, right? All these accomplishments, not having done any of that work, but then somebody just hands them the trophy, right? It's like, you just got cheated out of the whole process, right? And that's what I was telling you, that personally, to me, pisses me off, right? That we see that nowadays a lot more often too. The deeper that we get into whatever aspect of life we're in, right? The deeper we get into these different branches, the more we start seeing certain people like that. And it's like mind boggling that they're like, these people are everywhere. And it pisses me off because to me, people that have obtained things without working for them have nothing. I don't care what you're, you know, have wrapped around your neck. I don't care how much money you have in your pocket, that your last name is on whatever wrist. Building. I don't care about any of your eyes. I don't care about any of that. If you've never worked for it, you have absolutely nothing. And that's just the truth, right? Especially now that I'm dedicating myself, working really, really hard to try to make something of my life, right? Juan doing the same thing. That doesn't necessarily mean just because we started working hard all of a sudden, like we just obtained it, right? It's like, it's a long, long journey. And it's mostly steep uphill battles. And it's not even promised. Like, you might not even actually obtain what you really want. You could fight for it and still might come short. And maybe you'll make it, you know, far, but you might still come up short. You might still not obtain anything. And it almost make it seem like all that hard work, all those long nights were for nothing, you know? Mm. And that's what pisses me off. Because I'm willing to die for what I want. I'm willing to go all the way and still come up short, knowing that I did everybody, like, everybody a favor in the sense that I was just working hard every day and showing them, like, hey, this is how it has to be done. You could be doing this too, and trying to inspire and motivate other people along the way. Like, literally die doing all of this just to come up short. I would be completely satisfied by not even reaching that end goal.
Same. That's why I was laughing then, as well.
Oh, yeah. And then there's people that just get it. And I'm like, do you even know what you have? Like, do you even realize like what your parents or whatever other generations before you had to do for that? And you're just going to toss it aside. You're just going to drink it off. You're going to party it off and let it just crumble. Like, those are generations of hard work and dedication to make constant improvements with the market change, with inflation, with all these things. And then it's just going to get to you and you're just gonna be like, yeah, well, I don't really want to work though. Like, I kind of want to just go to like the Bahamas and go to Vegas, you know, with my friends.
Yeah.
That pisses me off.
You know, it's like interesting as well. Like, a bunch of statistics are popping into my head. So this is how you know I'm a nerd. But this is one statistic I watched, I read a couple of years ago that was like people who are born into families that are making over something like $500,000 or something along the lines of that, essentially are very well off, have higher rates of drug use, alcohol use, and ultimately suicide. And it's an unfortunate thing, right? It's a frankly fucked up statistic. But I got to say, I wasn't one bit surprised when I read that for reasons that you mentioned as well. The thing about life is, and this is a very general statement, everyone knows it, nothing makes me special by saying this, but it's all about the highs and the lows. You go through them, you go through the lows, you appreciate more of the highs, so on and so forth. What this podcast, right, it's like I said it before, stands for is earning those highs. And this type of living is more sustainable in my view, because the highs aren't given to you, you earn them. And so that, and so you know that, hey, you know what, next time I want a bigger high. And right, we're not talking about drugs or alcohol here, just about actual life high. Next time you got to work harder, right? Compare that now to someone who's born with a lot of money. Like you just said, like, oh, I don't want to work. I just want to go to the Bahamas and chill. That for me and you, or for someone out there, is a high, right? A very high. They go, And it's an okay high to them, right? Because they've experienced other things before. They've gone to Italy. They've gone and stayed at amazing resorts in France and, you know, wherever else, Miami, let's say. So those highs for them become slightly less impactful. Not just because they have them at such a higher frequency, but because there's not a lot of lows there, right? If you're constantly jumping from bougie hotel to bougie hotel, where's the difficult time there, right? And in a similar sense as an addiction, right? You take that first hit of whatever it is you're doing, nothing is going to be like that first one, right? Nothing is going to be, but you always go in search of it. In the same exact sense here, that's where I think people like that fall into drug and alcohol problems. Because, wow, last year we had an amazing time at the Maldives. And the human brain says, let's make it better this time. Let's do something different this time. This time, let's rent out a yacht, invite a bunch of girls, and get fucked up, right? And then you have that. And then next year, hey, like we should just take some like acid or something along the lines of that. Or we should just go to like this other country and, you know, do this or do that. And they keep doing that because they keep chasing that higher, high level in their life. And, right, two things there. One, of course, that's a very addictive pattern, something that never leads to a good place in general. But in another sense, you never earn it, right? So take away the fact that obviously drugs and alcohol, all that is bad. If you have someone who's going through the same exact experiences as them, but they're actually earning that, even though I wouldn't agree with their lifestyle, that is more sustainable to me than the other, you know, people who aren't earning or doing anything for their situation. They aren't working hard to go to the Maldives and get fucked up or do, you know, make all those stupid decisions, because they can make those decisions every single day of the week, every single weekend, right?
Yeah.
And like you said, it's a disservice to them and quite an unfortunate thing that you lead into, because you lose that sustainability. You're not grounded anymore, is what I would really call it, right? The reason why I'm such a big advocate for working out is it doesn't matter if you have $7 in your bank account or 100 million, 25 pounds is as heavy for you as it is for me. Whatever my income statement is, whatever amount I make, doesn't matter, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger famously said that he liked it because he grew up poor and the weight was as heavy for him as it was for a rich guy. And I love that aspect because you need things in your life to humble yourself. And this is something I preach all day long. People need to humble themselves. And this is the part where I'm going to try to not be mean, but for real, people need to humble themselves, because you have on every sort of part of my life, I've met people that think that they are the absolute best person in the world. They deserve this salary because that's what the market's doing. And they deserve this because they have that level of experience, and they deserve this and they deserve that. And they never look in the mirror at what is your actual value, right? What value are you providing to society and to this company that would, in my mind, justify your audacity to ask for this amount, or justify your audacity to assume that you're entitled to this position, to this amount of money. I don't care if you have 40 years of experience and I have 1 year of experience. I would trust myself more if those 40 years aren't worth shit and my 1 year is worth a lot. Quality over quantity, right? Quality over quantity with experiences, with everything that you're doing. Humble yourself, people. Humble yourself. I'll let you be the cheerleader in this one, Omar, because I think there's a lot of hype people out there who are always saying, like, you're doing great, keep going. And yes, I'm with them for the most part. But realize and humble yourself about what you're actually doing in your life. Do you actually deserve this? Not that life cares whether you or I deserve or don't deserve that, but just keep that in mind, people, because some of y'all have the self-esteem of four people combined. You got to chill out. And that is it. That turned into a little bit of a rant. Apologies, but Colin, that's how I'm feeling.
I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that, man. I mean, growing up in Sonoma, we've met tons of people like that, honestly. And, you know, although I'm not necessarily working in Sonoma, I'm working out of Sonoma, but nearby, I still see that every day. Dealing directly with customers that, because something might be a mistake or something is wrong, it's like they instantly blow up on you. And like, this has to be right. And you're like, yeah, no shit. Mistakes happen, buddy. Like, figure it out. That's life, right?
Yeah.
But the thing that worries me about people that are entitled is that they have a very misconstrued point of view in life. And like you're saying, you need to humble yourself. Now, realistically speaking, there will always be somebody better than you. Almost always. It would be very difficult to be the best person in the world, right? And I'm talking about like in every single aspect, every single sport, every, you know, like that would be very difficult. I don't think we would even know who it's that impossible. Is, right? But there's always somebody better. There just always is. And the thing is, even if you hit your prime, somebody might be younger than you and they could do the same thing you're doing. And when they hit their prime, it will be much better than any record that you could ever provide, right? And when you kind of start to establish that thought in your mind and say, okay, there probably is better people out there than me, you kind of step down from that pedestal and you realize like, okay, I'm really not this hot shot. I'm really not shit. But then you get to the level that I got to where I was like, I ain't shit at all. Like, I'm fucking nobody, right?
It's like going down in the world.
If you want to talk about humility, like, you got to hit those rock bottoms, right? I hit my all-time rock bottom, and I realized I was nothing. Like, if in high school I used to think I was some sort of hotshot because I drove a cool little truck and, you know, I had a lot of friends or whatever, and I was at these places or whatever outside of school, like, I realized very quickly, like, I am fucking nobody. I have done nothing with my life, and I have nothing to offer. And that is the most humble you can become, right? And me even talking about that makes me feel ashamed of myself because I don't even like sharing that, you know? But it's it's where I gain my pride from, right? And I don't feel entitled, but I feel prideful. I feel prideful about what I do have, what I have fought for, what I have worked for. Not because I just feel that I'm this great person without even putting any work for it, right? The thing is, when you're entitled, you live in this misconstrued point of your life. And when you see other people that are actually working hard, instead of cheering them on and supporting them and asking and trying to learn from them, you start to hate on them. You start to say, hey, no, you don't deserve this. Like, who are you? Right?
Yeah.
And that's another thing that pisses me off. It's like somebody that's entitled will never see eye to eye on any topic with you. They will always want to one-up you. They will always want to be better than you. They always feel like they're better than you. In fact, they will almost talk to you like they know that they're better than you, right? And it's such a disrespectful way of being with other people, right? Because like I said, I ain't shit. I'm nobody. Yeah, I fucking work hard. Like, yeah, I have long days, whatever. I'm still nobody, you know? I'm still working to become somebody, really, you know? I have a long way to go. I have a long days to go. And then here comes somebody telling me, oh, well, I mean, come on. You know, you're not really going to do anything. And I'm like, oh, I will make you shut the fuck up. Like, I will prove to you that you're wrong.
In a nice way, though.
In a very nice way. In a nice tone of manner.
We're nice people here. You know, we are.
Yeah. And the thing is, I've bumped into people recently that
call them out.
I won't be too direct.
I'm just kidding. But don't call them. We're going to get some hate mail.
Like I said, I got this management position, right? And there was somebody who was older than me, had more experience than me, and felt more qualified than me to gain this position. And perhaps in a normal sense, they'd be right. But what they didn't have completely like made anybody forget about whatever they had going for themselves, right? They weren't humble. They shit talked all the time to all the other like people that worked at that workplace. They were constantly like trying to overstep their boundaries and stuff. Like, it just made it, the workplace very uncomfortable for other people, to the extent that people actually quit because of that person. Right. Yeah. And then I come in, and obviously it's like, we're bumping heads. Right. And the first thing that this person says to me is like, yeah, man, I just don't like people that are young. I mean, they just not, they're not good at working in any, you know, general sense, to me as his boss. Right. Mm. And I'm like, the audacity, like, dude, yep. I could just fire you right now. Like, what makes you think that you telling me that's in my face is going to be like
about that part? Yeah. This guy's saying that to the guy who can fire him. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. It's like the audacity. And it's like to think that I won't. And it's just like, what? Like, what's wrong with you, man? Like, where's your like sign of respect for people? Like, even if I am younger, it's like, you respect people that are your boss. You respect people that have power over you because they have leadership, because they have skills that they can provide to you to help you do your job and help everything else run properly. Like, where is that? Yeah. Like, at the very least, you don't have to like me. Just recognize I'm at least your boss, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of, you know, the more recent, I guess, scenario that I came across. But that person was very entitled, and
nice.
They thought that everything I had belonged to them. And every single day I was reminded of that. There wasn't a day that passed by that I wasn't reminded of that. I showed up at this workplace. I didn't even have like any sort of badge saying that I was like a manager or anything like that. You know, I just wanted to get in and just start working, try, you know, going through the motions, figuring things out. And this guy had like somewhat of a manager badge on himself, like some sort of like, you know, badge of honor. Like, I'm right here. And people would ask me at the workplace, like, oh, why don't you have your name tag? Or why don't you have like your badge? I'm like, 'cause I don't need it. Like, that name tag says nothing to me. Like, you could wear whatever badge you want. You could wear whatever mask you want in life. You could pretend to be whoever you want to be. You will never be that person. If you haven't worked for it, I don't give a fuck. Like, you're nobody. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, if you haven't worked for these things, you have nothing. Yeah, you could be parading around in a nice luxury car. You could be driving your parents' car. You could be driving whoever's car, whatever. I don't care. You have nothing, you know? Without true hard work behind any of these possessions, whether they're materialistic or any sort of accomplishments in life, without that, you have nothing. And that's just me being really honest. And, you know, unfortunately, it comes off the wrong way. But you really have nothing.
Yeah, an important thing to note here is we're very confident people, right? But there's a big difference between confidence and entitlement and insane humble yourself. It's not to say your work isn't good. It's not to say you're not putting in effort. It's not to say that you don't deserve your position or you don't deserve a raise that's coming up. Humbling yourself just means approach who you are relative to the world, because, and this is true, you live in this world with some 7-point-something billion other people, right? And even though we can get into the habit of thinking that we live in a bubble when you live in a small little town, or when you're in a college town or, you know, a university, something of that sort, where you only see your same group of people and you have this and they don't have that, and you start feeling yourself, you know, real good. All we're saying here is humble yourself, continue to do your work, continue to be, you know, excel and grow and be confident and proud of who you are, but also keep in mind of other people around you. It sounds like such a simple thing, and I feel kind of dumb saying it, but it's just keep in mind that there are other people around you. If you see someone who is putting in 12-hour work day, when, you know, the regular time is 8 hours or something along the lines. I mean, you're just working your 8 hours. It's not to say that they're working harder or you're working harder. It's just keep in mind other people are also doing amazing things. For me, I am extremely confident. I'll tell you guys the two things that make me humble, though. One, I mentioned already, the gym. Because it doesn't matter if I had an absolute great week. It doesn't matter if I got a raise. None of it matters, because when I go up to my personal record and I can't lift it, I'm not shit in that moment, right? I can't lift this weight. And the weight always humbles you in that sense, because again, the weight doesn't care. It doesn't care if you just got a raise. It doesn't care if you're feeling amazing. The weight is going to be the weight. You got to respect it. The second thing for me that humbles myself and that's always humbled me is seeing as a teenager my mom work. I've referenced it multiple different times. That is the biggest humbling factor in my life, because I know I'm working at such a high level, but was I working and have I worked at 13 to 15 hour work week, work days, I keep saying work week, work days that my mom was in having to sustain us and being a single mom? That's just a personal thing for me. But I think everyone in their life has some sort of example that they can compare to their parents, maybe to their grandparents, to whoever it is, and think, I'm doing really good, but am I doing this good? And it's not to bring yourself down a level, because I know that the work I'm doing now is different than the work that my mom has done. It's not to say that I'm working harder than her or she's working harder than me. It's just to say there are a lot of good and incredible people out there that are doing amazing, amazing things that you could not even imagine. So before you really start raising up the value of who you think you are, acknowledge and figure out that people around you are also doing amazing things. And that is the beautiful aspect of it, right? Omar humbles me because I know that he's working hard, because I know that in his own life, he is trying to be better than himself. And he, in some unspoken way, is trying to be better than me and than the world. It's the same thing I'm doing, right? Those are the type of people that will humble you. Those are the type of people that will keep you confident as well, right? So just throwing that out there, it doesn't mean, right, like it's not in a negative way, you're worth less than you think. It just means keep it at a reasonable level and realize that no matter what position you're at, there's more room to grow. There's more room to get better. And the fact that we can never be perfect should always humble you. To never think that you've ever arrived or that you're perfect. There's always more work to be done. And on some level, like Omar said, we aren't shit. Boom. That's what I got to say.
Beautifully said, Juan. Yeah, I mean, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And like I said, unfortunately, sometimes you might never arrive. You might not really get to where you want to be. But that's also what humbles me, to know that I could literally work my ass off my whole life and still not fully accomplish everything that I want to. That yep. puts things into, you know, into perspective for me, to realize that life is so short that I don't have that many days left, right? People look at it in terms of like years, decades, like, oh, you can go through your 20s, you can go through your 30s, whatever. I'm thinking of it in terms of days. Like, how many days do I have left? Like, how many hours? How many minutes? A minute mm-hmm. wasted is already a minute gone. Like, that shit scares me, you know? And we really don't know what's going to happen, you know, once you die, once you don't exist anymore. Whether you're religious or not, what you believe, hey, I don't know. I really don't know. But my God, if I die and I didn't die trying, what was the point? Was it even worth it? Like, they should have just given my life to the next guy, given that guy an opportunity, you know, the other sperm cell that was fighting in that race, right? Like,
yeah.
And that's the thing, like, I'm not gonna let this life go to waste. I'm not gonna let this be a wasted opportunity. I'm not gonna allow people to even think of like my breath was wasted. You know how sometimes people talk like so meanly about other people. I wouldn't mm-hmm. even give people that try, like that type of thought about me.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Quickly before we wrap it up, I wanted to get to that last point. What do you think? Why do you think entitled people or entitlement in general make us so angry?
Because they ain't shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's your answer. They ain't shit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Why? Because I see them every day. I see them everywhere. And, you know, I don't look at it in terms of, like, culture, race, you know, background. Sometimes it has nothing to even do with wealth. Like, it's just, like, by the kind of vibes I get off of people, the vibration. You know, when I meet somebody that has a pure soul, I mean, that's just a beautiful thing, man. Like, you can just talk days on. And never really finish your thoughts because it's like it keeps branching out to other spots. You're like, wow, amazing. Like this person's like somebody noteworthy, somebody to talk to. They could have no accomplishments in life, but they're just a really interesting person. And they just have that pure soul. But then you come across somebody that's entitled. And it's like every single part of the conversation will kind of lead into a weird, awkward direction where it's like you will continue to run into these situations where they're like, oh, well, yeah, like, you know, I just came back from this trip, you know, like my family has some property out in this other country, whatever. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, like, good for you. Anyways, so as I was saying, you know, like, you know, I want to travel someday and, you know, go to spots like, oh, yeah, man, like, you should go to this other spot. Like, I actually went there on a trip, you know, 2 months ago. Yeah, I was out there with my girlfriend and whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, like, what were you guys doing out there? Oh, well, the thing is, I have another family that also has, you know, property. They're like, okay, like, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
hey, man. Good for you, you know. Good for you. Like, I'm glad you're enjoying those cool experiences, but it's like you're being cheated out of it. You're not understanding that you haven't worked for any of that, you know. Unless they have, right? But almost immediately, you just get this different sense. And to me, it just, I don't know. It's very unfortunate when I have conversations with people like that. And then even worse, when they try to compare themselves to me, I'm like, just stop, man. Like, that just pisses me off.
I think the part that makes me angry, it's so many parts, but I would say the primary one is the lack of perspective. That generally makes me angry with people in general, I would say. Not just people who are entitled, but say people who are, you know, have a very strong opinion about immigrants, you know, whether it's on the one side or the other side. But they're not immigrants themselves, or they don't have family that's immigrants. It's like, oh,
yeah.
So you have this very strong opinion with absolutely no perspective.
Mm-hmm.
In a similar sense, entitled people frustrate me so much because they think they're on top of the world. And in all likelihood, most of the people that I've met that feel entitled are at a low point in an average life, but they think they're in a high, and that frustrates me to such a high extent because they're celebrating, they're posting on Instagram, they're posting on social media, they're showing the bills, they're showing the Gucci bags, all that sort of stuff. And the only thing I think in my mind is, I'm better off than you right now, and I'm not out there making people feel bad about what I have and what they don't have. I'm not out there bringing people down, because that is what they're doing. There's no other way of doing it. If you're out there and you're showing your Lamborghini and you're showing this, as proud as you are of that, you have to know that that's bringing someone down, because they don't have that, because they're not in a position to travel to Florence, Italy, to eat at the best restaurants in the world. You have to understand that, right? We can't be naive about that. All those things that you put out there that are successes for you and great, celebrate them, be proud, amazing, be confident. You have to also know that they're making someone out there feel bad. I'm not saying stop. I'm just saying, keep that in mind. And all the people that I've seen that do that lack the perspective of that aspect and the perspective of every time I see someone with a new car, I just think, there goes a person who's going to be in debt for 20 years of their life. Doesn't matter how much money they're making, they're going to be in debt for 20 years of their life. That is going to slow down their progress. They get a Gucci bag, like, oh, there goes someone who looks great, but they're also going to be in debt for a year of their life, right? Or someone that, you know, showing all these like bills, and it's like that person probably just got paid and went to a check cashing place and said, all cash, please. You know how easy that is for me or for anyone else to do? I'll get paid tomorrow and I can go to the bank and withdraw some amount of money and I will give you the impression that I'm this amazing person, but it's worth nothing. That's the part that to me frustrates me, the lack of perspective and the empty words, the empty level of success. You're not successful if you're out there showing it. If you're out there, if you're successful, you're not going to be out there showing it. You're just going to be working. Yeah. Plain and simple.
Yeah, facts. I mean, I think a lot of people on social media and they, you know, call themselves influencers, try to use the guise of like, oh, I'm just trying to inspire other people. But you can't inspire with bullshit. I mean, if you're on jets, if you're on these cool Lambo rides or whatever, and you're constantly recording yourself doing these activities, but you haven't actually earned any of those things, and those were granted to you either through some promotion from some company or, you know, perhaps through your own family and stuff, like, what are you really inspiring? You're inspiring to be false and pretend to be somebody that you aren't? Like, there's nothing really to inspire. You know, part of the reason why I wanted us to have like those hands, you know, on some of our content, right? When we share reels and stuff at the end, you know, we'll share it with our logo or like on our YouTube video on the banner, you'll see it, is because as I was describing to Juan, it's like that literally describes us. Like, what do you have? What tools do you have? At the very, very core of our very foundation, like, we just have these fucking hands, you know? And not to say that, hey, you can get these hands.
Square up. Catch these hands.
But you can get these hands.
Yeah.
But, you know, 100%. Hard work. Like, that's what that represents, you know? Hard work. That's what we got. And we're going to use that to the fullest extent. We'll work out people in circles. We will outwork them in circles. While they're taking selfies, we're running around them, doing circles, doing laps, miles, you name it. And I have a lot of pride behind that. Yeah. But like I said, we expect nothing because, again, we could work our whole lives and gain absolutely nothing or not gain everything that we want. And I've made my peace with that. I'm pretty sure Juan has made his peace with that as well. It might be harder for us to go to sleep at night if that were to happen. Yeah. But we understand that's part of this, right? That's part of this journey. So
the work,
take from that what you will.
The work is always the reward. And just keep that in mind. I think it's a good place to wrap it up. Omar, I actually let you take the wow. I remembered of another wow. So we'll have a double feature today with two wows. Okay. You can go ahead and take the first one.
Real quick, before we share our last words, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, share, comment, like, all that good stuff. Support our YouTube channel. We're trying to make it grow. Check us on Instagram at The Intrinsic Podcast. Additional content. Also, any sort of updates regarding our podcast. And, of course, you know, we're on all your other platforms, Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. So make sure to check us out, share, and thank you for your support. And now we go with our first wow for me.
Let's do it.
This one comes from Lee Siegel. I react very badly when mediocrity throws a tantrum of entitlement.
That might as well be our quote. I just want to say that. And the second one is one that we've shared before, but I think it really came up when we were talking about sort of generation, building wealth, things of that sort. And Omar will recognize it. I forget exactly who this one is by, but it's pretty common. It says, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. And good times create weak men. That, I think, is the origin of entitlement. And at the same time, it's the origin of people like us. And we'll leave it there. Have a good one, everyone, and appreciate you. Join this journey. See ya.